So thankful. Got all kinds of new folks doing stuff tonight. It's fantastic. Guests, it's an honor to have you here tonight. So thankful for you being here. We still have a lot of church family that are under the weather and different things that are going on. Pray for each other when you notice families that are gone. And then pray for the Thomases and then for Brother Max Tinsley. They both have some lengthy trips that they're on. And just pray for the Lord to help their health and to bless their time away. Tonight we're doing things a little bit differently. And I am thankful for it. I am convinced of this. This is not a preference. This is a conviction that a church family is healthier the more men we have that can handle the Word of God. And that's not something that we ought to be jealous about. It's not something we should be careless about. But it's something that I believe God wants to do. He wants to enable and develop men who can communicate the Word of God. That doesn't mean that someone is called to preach on a regular basis, but we're a healthier church if multiple people can stand up and declare the Word of God with effectiveness, with clarity, and to make very clear application that can help our lives. I'm so thankful for Brother Nate. He is a blessing to the life of this church. And just over the course of years of being faithful and serving, he and Miss Danielle have developed much credibility to where they are trusted to help lead people to follow Jesus Christ. And our church is better because we have Nate and Daniel as a part of our church family. It's so good to have Brother Nate's parents. They were actually going to hear some good preaching, so they decided to come tonight. No, I'm totally kidding. It's an honor to have y'all here with us. We're thankful for you being here. And I appreciate everything that Brother Nate invests in the Connect class and that he invests in our music. We're blessed by that. And I'm excited tonight about how God is going to speak to us through Brother Nate. And look, there's obviously learning curves. In fact, any pastor that's honest, it doesn't matter how long you've been preaching, you're always learning, and you're always trying to be the most effective at communicating the Word of God. But this isn't some kind of practice session. This isn't some kind of seminar where we're just going to take turns. We're here to have church. And I know for a fact that both of these men have prepared with seriousness. And so we're going to get to the first message tonight. Brother Nate, I love you. I'm thankful for you. Come and preach the Word of God to us.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach tonight. I don't take it lightly, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand here and deliver the Word tonight. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word as you turn to Proverbs chapter 16? You know, I was going to say, since you mentioned my parents, it's their fault that you were out sick 2 weeks ago. Because whenever my parents happen to be in a service, it always happens to be a day when Brother Adam's preaching. So, sorry about that. But we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 16 this evening. We're going to start in verse 1. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord with the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for the gift of your word to us. Your people have gathered here tonight in your name with an expectation to hear from you, and I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your word. I ask that you would be glorified as I commit this work to you tonight, and ask that you would increase and that I would decrease. Please establish my thoughts as I deliver this message, and I ask that you would give me the words to speak for your people tonight. In your name, Lord, amen. 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 You may be seated. When I was 13, it was my first summer going to Christian Youth in Action. And I didn't know much about reading the Bible and about serving God at the age of 13. But I knew that when you're at a Christian Bible training school, you should probably do morning devotions. And I was trying to figure out the exact date, but I happened to be reading chapter 16 of Proverbs as I'm at this Bible training camp. And so Christian Youth in Action is a camp where you learn how to deliver Bible stories to kids for the purpose of evangelism. And so I came upon this verse, Proverbs 16, verse 3, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." And this was the first time that God's word really jumped out in a personal way to me. I'm here at this camp, and I want to do the work of the Lord. So if I commit my works to the Lord, he will help establish my thoughts. Amen. And so, later that summer, I committed my life to serve the Lord however he would choose to use me. Amen. And so this verse has become my life verse. Amen. After I determined to preach this passage, I thought we were mostly going to focus on verse 3. But as you study, you find that God's word is much more rich than even you thought. In the process of studying for a sermon, it comes alive. And I'm thankful for this opportunity. So with the Lord's help tonight, I want to tell you about how God has worked in my life and how he wants to work in yours. And I think this passage shows us three things we can do to help us grow in service and in our walk with the Lord. I believe if we do these, we make room for him to establish our thoughts. So that's the title tonight, is Establish Our Thoughts. So first point tonight, if we want to serve the Lord, the first thing we need to do is prepare our hearts. Verse 1 says, "The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Before Christ, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when the Lord moves in, he wants to renovate our hearts and make us more like him. Make our heart, he comes and lives in our hearts. And so he wants to make it his home. And so our job is to prepare our hearts. And I want to define that tonight as a prepared heart is one that is in submission to God's will and his leading in daily living. So my question first on preparing your heart is, how are you preparing your heart? Luke chapter 6, verses 45 and 46 say, "A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So the first thing Jesus says in verse 46 is, if you want to prepare your heart for me, you have to obey. If an obedient heart is prepared toward God. So my question tonight is, are you preparing your heart towards God or preparing your heart away from God? Does the music that you listen to help you think good thoughts about God? Or does it help you think about the lusts of the flesh? In the quiet moments in your life, do you choose to be distracted by all the noise that's available through entertainment and music and podcasts and all of that? Or do you take time to pray to God and sing to him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Do you prioritize being in God's house or only attend when it's exciting or convenient? If you want to prepare your heart toward God, I think the best way we can do that is to pray without ceasing. If we keep an open line of communication with the Lord, we're going to grow in our relationship with him. And as we commune with the Lord, he will prepare us to do his work. And so what is that? Why are we preparing our hearts? If we look at verse 2, it says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit." We need to prepare our hearts so that we can have a right spirit toward the Lord. When we think we're doing great, that's usually when we need a spirit check. I've had lots of times in my own life and as I've grown in this church where I've thought, man, Christian life is really good now. God's good. I'm good. We're good. This is good. And that's the time where I learn that I have a lot more to learn, because God has a way of humbling us when we're prideful. First Peter 5, 5b and 6 says, "For God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble." Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When we lift ourselves up in pride, that's when we stop relying on him. A prepared heart relies on God. We need to be vigilant against pride and keep humility close. The next reason we need to prepare is that he commands us to be ready always, as we find in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and in fear. Be ready always to talk about the Lord. And the more you do it, the better it gets. I'm excited when I get the opportunity to talk to my coworkers and anyone I meet about the Lord. Amen. Next, we need to prepare our hearts because the world is watching. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Are you shining as a light in the world? When you go out in the world, does your life reflect the unsaved, or does it reflect the Savior? And if that's not enough reasons why, my last point for why we need to prepare our hearts is that it's our reasonable service. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Amen. Our Savior gave himself for us. The least we can do is offer ourselves back to him. Amen. So, we've gone over how we're preparing our hearts, why we're preparing our hearts, but what are we actually preparing our hearts for in context of this passage? The first one I want to say is the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them," Jesus, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's for every one of us who has Christ as our Savior today. We all have the job to tell others about Christ. And then, on top of that, God has good work planned for us to do. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him." Right. So are you giving time to the reasonable service of the Lord so that you can be ready for the good work that he has for you? Amen. If we prepare our hearts toward God and we have a right spirit toward him, then he will give us the answer of the tongue when we commit our works. Point number two is commit our works, which takes us to verse 3. "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." As I prayed just before service, I've often prayed that prayer. Lord, I commit this work to you. Please establish my thoughts. And when we ask God to give us the thoughts, he gives us strength in the moment. He gives us strength when we don't know how we're going to make it. We come up to challenges, and if we ask God for strength, he is faithful to give it. Amen. He gives us strength for overcoming insecurity or inadequacy. Amen. I think about Moses, who says, "Lord, I don't have the words to speak," but God says, "My strength is sufficient for you." Sometimes he gives us strength despite our unpreparedness. Sometimes things come up and you don't know how to react in that moment. But if you take the time to say, "Lord, establish my thoughts. I commit this to you," then he is going to give you the help in that moment. An example of committing your work to the Lord in the moment is found in Elijah. If you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm just going to look at a couple verses here because it's a big chapter. But 1 Kings chapter 18 in verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Verse 2, "And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Ahab is the wicked king of Israel at that time. And all we see in these two verses is God says, "Go show yourself, and I will send rain." But if you read the whole chapter, that's not all that Elijah does. he goes and he talks to Elijah, but God doesn't send the rain yet. He says, call out your prophets of Baal. We'll have a little competition. We'll see whose God is the real God. He says, you prepare yours, I'll prepare mine. You do what you have to do. You guys can go first. Whoever's God sends fire to consume the sacrifice, that's the true God. And so he does that. But on his way to do this work of the Lord, as we see the commanded verse 1, his heart was prepared before God. He had already prepared as a prophet. And because of that, God was establishing the thoughts for the work that he would do. And so the prophets of Baal, they fail. That's Baal and fail. That's free. And so finally, they go all day, and then it's time for the evening sacrifice. So Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord, and then he douses it with water in the time of a famine. And so then we pick up in chapter 18, verse 36, where he commits the work to the Lord. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. He committed his work to the Lord in that moment. And if you read the next verse, God showed up. But the prayer that he prayed wasn't for his own glory. And that's a key point here. If you're committing your work to the Lord, it's got to never be for your glory. It has to always be for God's glory. And the Lord can glorify himself when we ask for him to establish our thoughts in the moment. But as I've studied this, I find that if we commit our work to him before the moment, it'll be much better. If we take verse 3 by itself, it's good. God can work with that. But if we apply verses 1 and 2 first, then it's going to be even better. So point number 3 tonight is to start with God. Amen. Point number 3 should actually be point number 1. But so often, we forget to include the one that we are working for. Amen. When we endeavor to do his work. So you'll notice back in Proverbs 16, the verse 1 starts with the preparations of the heart in man. Verse 2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Those two verses start with man. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. This passage is painting a picture here of what we want to do, but how we should do it. The first two verses start with man. The third verse starts with God, and that's how we need to do it. The times I've tried to work for the Lord in my own strength, he's blessed it, but it hasn't been as good as if he had established his will through my submission to him in the first place. So we need to start with God so that he can work on our will. Like Elijah, we need to prepare our hearts with the right spirit toward God so that he will establish our thoughts for the work that he wants us to do, not the work that we want us to do. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good and to do of his good pleasure. First off, he works in us to will his good pleasure. And then he works in us to do his good pleasure. So we want to continually commit our work to the Lord. And that means putting his will before our own will. And I think you'll find that as you continually spend time with God, submitting your will to his, your desires will start to align with his desires. Amen. And the result of your continual submission to him is that he will make you more like him. So the next point is that we need to start with God because he wants to make us more Christ-like. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When God knows us, he is predestinating us, he is working, and he has a plan to make us Christ-like. This cycle of commitment of works to the Lord and his establishment of your thoughts creates a feedback loop of relationship with God, which produces Christ-likeness. And as you become Christ-like, you'll find that the works that you desired for yourself in the past aren't the works necessarily, it could be, but maybe not the works that God has for you as you submit your will to his. The works he's prepared for you are much better than the works you would prepare for yourself. When I chose Proverbs 16, verse 3 as my life verse, I was a verse 3 Christian. I said, God, I'm working for you. I'm going to commit this to you. Please establish my thoughts. But as I've grown and as God has continued to work in me, he's forming me into verses 1, 2, and 3 Christian. So do you desire to serve the Lord tonight? Do you desire a close walk with him? Do you desire for him to establish your thoughts? In order to do that and work with the Lord, not against him, we must start with God, submit your will to him continually, prepare your heart to serve him with the right spirit, and then we commit our work to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for scripture where you've shown us how we can serve you, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to apply this to our lives, help us to have a right spirit before you, and a right preparation to align our will with yours as you work in us. Thank you, Jesus, for your word to us. In your name, amen.
I want you to pause for just a moment. So many times we want to take God's stamp and approve our plans. And that message tonight was about opening up our life, not so that we can have God's approval for what we want, but so that God can give us a desire for what he wants. It's a great truth tonight. And so, look, we're here to talk to the Lord, so we're going to bow our heads for a moment. And Miss Becca, if you just play something softly for just a moment, let me ask you the question this way. Can you think of an area in your life where you're not starting with God? And Miss Becca, you can go ahead and start playing. So I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hands. I just want you to think about it. You say, I'm not starting with God. I go to God and ask him to approve of what I'm doing, but I need to get back to starting with God and preparing my heart for God. And when I've done that, then I can commit my work. The problem is so many of us can't commit the work because we've left out those other processes. Man, it was a great challenge tonight, Brother Nate. So let's take a moment. I'm going to take a moment just to talk to the Lord for myself. And you respond to the Lord right there. If you want to use the altar, you can. But let's talk to Jesus as we have opportunity.